You might have read the quote that we put on the board to introduce our thoughts this afternoon. The writer and poet Mark Twain once said, "It isn't the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me, it's the parts I do understand." And I don't know much about Mark Twain as far as the kind of life he lived or anything like that, but I think he got it right on this quote. You know, sometimes we worry about the vague things in the Bible. The Bible tells us the secret things belong unto God, and we strive sometimes to find out what are those secret things. How can we learn about those secret things? We don't really need to know some of those things. God's given us all that we need to know. On the other hand, there are some things that He put right in front of our face, so plain and so clear, and sometimes that's the things we struggle with, or at least I do, and that's one such thing that we want to talk about this afternoon. That idea of loving your enemies. And I appreciate so much Britt this morning and the things he had to say and the way these two sermons will blend together, because he talked about love and what the spirit of love is and how we need that spirit of love in us. And all those things are so very important to us, to love one another, to love God, to make our life right. We have to have love in our life. If you're not loving, if you don't have that spirit of love in your life, you're not living a Christian life. You're not doing what God appointed you to do. You're not living what you've been called to live and how you've been called to live. And part of that is loving your enemies, is going beyond just loving your friends. You know, we can look out into the world and we can pick out the vilest sinner you can find, and they've got somebody they love. They've got a friend they love. They've got a family member they love. That's natural. We have, the Bible talks about natural affection. We have a natural affection that we love our friends, that we love our families. At least most people do. And even the vilest sinner will have at least someone that they love. But it's not normal to love your enemies. That's not natural. That's very much against nature. You know, it's very natural. It comes naturally to us to hate our enemies. And that's why Jesus introduced this subject in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 43 and 44. And we'll spend a lot of time just kind of picking this verse apart this afternoon if you're turning in the Bible and want to keep your finger marked there. And we'll bring the slide back up on the board as we go through it as well. But Jesus says in Matthew 5 and verse 43, "You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And so Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus really makes His appearance, His first public address. He begins to make known all these principles that sets forth what Christianity is about, what it means to be a disciple of His, what He's going to call people to do. And He lays all that out in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 when you read that. And one of the concepts that He brings forth is this of loving your enemies. Very different than anybody thought in that day and age. And Jesus in this time, He's talking to people in a very much a time of turmoil. The Romans weren't friendly folks. They weren't going to be easy to love, and yet He's telling them, you need to love these people. You need to love them. You know, you think about your enemies today, and I talk to people, they say, "Oh, I don't have very many enemies," and that's good. Hopefully, you don't have enemies around you. But let me tell you something, flip on the news and watch it. There's folks in the Middle East that if you were to meet them on the street, they pull out a gun and shoot you in the face. They don't like you. They don't like you because you're an American. They don't like you because you're a Christian. They are your enemies. And we have a responsibility to love them. What's your attitude when you see that on the news? You know, I can honestly say that love's probably not the first thing that pops into my brain when I watch about them blowing up innocent people in Paris. When I watch about those two people that walk in to their workplace and shoot up people that they thought were their friends. You know, love's maybe not the thing that pops into my mind. But Jesus has said, you've got to do that. Now, what does that mean? I think Brent set it up very nicely this morning when he talked about agape love. The word that's used here in Matthew 5 is agapo. It's the verb form of the noun agape. And so it's the same thing, meaning the same thing. It's not a feeling. If you're waiting for yourself to feel something for those enemies, you're never going to feel it. It's not a feeling. And God hasn't called you to have a feeling of love toward them. He doesn't want you to do that. He knows that we're incapable of that. God never commanded a feeling. God commanded an action. And that's what this is. And we'll talk about that. He lays it all out in that verse. How to do that and why to do that. But it's an action. It's not a feeling at all. Our enemy is defined as in the Greek, ektheros, hated, odious, hateful, opposing another, one that is hostile, an adversary, or a foe. And so you think about that as you think about people that might be considered your enemies. And the Bible, I think, defines that a little bit as well for us. So let's look at that for just a moment. Who is your enemy? Well, number one, in the verse that we read, it's a person who curses you. One that would curse you. Matthew 5 and verse 44, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean for someone to curse you? Well, they say bad things about you. We have an example of that in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. And really, you could read several verses here in 2 Samuel chapter 16 about Shimei. It says here, and as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. If you read about Shimei earlier in this chapter, he didn't like David at all. He was of the lineage of Saul. And if you know anything about David and Saul, they didn't always see eye to eye. Saul tried to kill David many times. Saul was jealous of David. Saul thought that David was trying to steal the kingdom from him. And Shimei was of that lineage. And he hated David. He didn't like him at all. And he cursed him. Says that he walked along on the hillside. And David's down there and he's throwing rocks at him as they were walking. He was kicking dust on him. He was cursing. In verse 7 of the same chapter, it says that he called him, "Thou man of Belial." Basically, that just means you're worthless. You're a worthless fool, David. He's cursing him, saying bad things about him. What was David's reaction? He had a host, an army with him. All David had to say was, "Get him, boys," and they would have took care of Shimei. We wouldn't have read anything more about Shimei. But that's not what he did. He kept walking. He kept going, and he just ignored him. And he let Shimei have his say, have his peace. He didn't say anything to him. He knew then wasn't the time. You know, our jerk reaction might be to say something back or to have some kind of exchange, but that's not what David did. He just kept going, kept his mouth shut, and kept his army on task, and they just marched right along. Remember Shimei. We'll come back to him in a few moments. Number two, as it says here in Matthew 5 and verse 44, an enemy is one who hates you. Not just somebody that says bad things about you, but somebody who genuinely has hatred in their heart toward you. Who doesn't like you just because of who you are and what you stand for. It says, Matthew 5 and verse 44, do good to them that hate you. That's not easy. That's not natural. When somebody hates you, you want to hate back. That's the natural reaction. But as Britt said this morning, we've been called to be a peculiar people. We've been called to do the thing that is not natural. And Jesus, by having this reaction, by doing good to those that hate us, we set ourselves apart and we show ourselves as somebody peculiar, as somebody different. And people want to know about that. People want to, they wonder why. How can this person not hate somebody that hates them? We're warned in John chapter 15 and verse 18 that the world's going to hate us. It's not a surprise. It's not anything that should be unexpected. John 15 and verse 18, the Bible says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know, there are many things the world doesn't understand about Christianity. And when you say, I can't do that because I'm a Christian, or I won't do that because I'm a Christian, I can't participate in that, I have no desire to participate in that, they just kind of look at you funny. And pretty soon, if you do that long enough, they say, well, you're not going to be our friend. You can't be like us, and so you're going to be an outcast. We don't want to be around you anymore. They hate you. Now, you can get mad about that, and I see too many Christians get mad about that. And then they spew hate out of their mouth. And they do things that are not becoming, as Brother Britt talked about this morning, that are unseemly. That's not about love. It's about hate. And too many Christians react that way. We've been called to love them. Even though they hate us, even though they hate what we stand for, even though they don't want to be around us, we have to love them anyway. And if we are serving Christ, if we have the heart of Christ, that spirit of love that Brett talked about this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to love them anyway. Number three, our enemy is one who uses us. The Bible says in Matthew 5:44, despitefully use you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. What does that mean? That means that they don't just curse you. They don't just use words. They don't just have that hatred in their heart, but they're actually willing to do bad things to you, to harm you, to mistreat you, to actually injure you if they can do so. And we have to have love in our hearts for them. It says in Matthew 27:28, to give you an example of how Jesus was despitefully used. He was terribly mistreated. It says they stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They mocked him. They hurt him. They injured him with words and with actions. When's the last time anybody did that to you? Now, when I start studying this and thinking about it, I think, you know, I don't have it very bad. I don't have it very hard. People may say, you know, why won't you go do that with me? Well, that's silly to even get upset about that. They're not threatening me. They're not holding a gun to my head trying to make me do it. Jesus was injured. He was despitefully used. And he loved those people anyway. What is our attitude? As we continue on there, it says they spit on him. They took a reed and smote him on the head. They spit on Jesus. When's the last time somebody spit in your face? How can you love then? How would you react then? Jesus loved them anyway. And that's what he's asked us to do. He's defining for us our enemies. One who curses, one who hates, one who mistreats us and uses us. And finally, one who would persecute us. Matthew 5:44 again. Pray for them which persecute you. Saul persecuted the church. In Acts 9:1, Saul yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Saul was persecuting the church. People persecute the church today, but they do it more with words than anything. Sometimes you'll see somebody take a serious action against the church, and they'll actually try to injure somebody. We've got love anyway. We've been commanded love anyway. So how do we do that? That becomes the question. It's easy to sit here and say, you got to love your enemy. You got to love your enemy. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you've been called to do. It's easy to say that. But I think that's why Mr. Twain said, and I believe it's true, that sometimes it's the parts that I understand that I have so much trouble with. I understand that I have to do that. I understand I've been called to do that. But doing it's a different story. Having that attitude is a different story. But when you remember that loving your enemy is action and not feeling, it becomes easier to do. It becomes something that's manageable. It becomes something we can handle. You're never going to have a feeling toward those that wish to do you harm, but you can take action towards them. And in doing so, you may change their attitude toward you, and that you may make a friend out of an enemy. Remember Saul. We'll come back to him as well. How to love your enemy. The great thing about the Scriptures is most of the time when it presents you a commandment, it tells you how to fulfill that commandment. It doesn't leave you guessing. It doesn't leave you out in the dark. God tells you what to do, and He's done that for us in these verses. First of all, He says, bless them. Bless them that curse you. It's pretty clearly set forth, isn't it? I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. What does that mean? That means you're not going to spew those curses back. That means when the shimmy eyes of the world that walk along on the hillside and curse you and cuss at you and say all these terrible things about you, you don't do the same back. But you are willing to hold your tongue. You're willing to bless them if you're going to say anything. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 14, He says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And so when you're experiencing that and you have to take an action instead of what you're feeling, say a blessing for them instead. Ask for their prosperity. Ask for good things to happen to them. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit the blessing. Now it's starting to make sense, isn't it? What's normal is when somebody curses you that you spew that curse back. That's normal. That's natural. But God has called you to be different. God has called you to be peculiar. Jesus, and the attitude that Jesus had was when somebody cursed Him, He blessed them. That's what He did. We can read examples after examples of that. And we've been called to be like Him. That is who we're following. It's not above the servant to be greater than their master. We're asked to be like the master. We're asked to follow the master. And that's what we should do. I told you we'd talk about Shimei a little bit more. If you look in 2 Samuel chapter 19, old Shimei shows back up to David. But this time, he's not cursing. This time, he's asking for forgiveness. This time, as David's ship sails across the river Jordan, Shimei is the first to meet him there. And it says that Shimei bows his knee before David, and he praises him, and he acknowledges him as the king, and he asks for his forgiveness. You know what the reaction of David's servants was? They said, O king, let's put this man to death. They remembered that Shimei had cursed David. They had remembered the guy that threw the stones and said the curse words and cast the dust and called the king worthless. They remembered that guy. But David said, no. Why would we do that? David said, we'll have mercy on him. And he swore with an oath to Shimei. He said, you're going to be fine. We're not going to harm you in any way. You'll be fine. And he allowed Shimei to go. He loved him. He blessed him. And that's the attitude we should have. That's why God looked at David and said, this is a man after my own heart. David wasn't perfect. David, we can read about the sins of David, the problems that he had. But his heart, within his heart was love. And he loved Shimei, even though he cursed him. And he blessed him instead. Number two, do good for him. Don't just say, like Britt said this morning, don't just say, but do. You actually must take action. And that's where things will really begin to turn around. That's where your attitude will begin to turn around. And that's where their attitude will begin to turn around. When action is actually taken. Again, Matthew 5 and 44. Do good to them that hate you. Somebody hates you. How do you react to that? You perform deeds of benevolence for them. You do good deeds for them. You help them in any way that you can. That's not a new concept. Remember, he says in Matthew chapter 5, you've heard that it hath been said of old, you'd love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The truth is, that was never said. The only people that said that would have been the traditions of the Jews. God never said that. That was never the intention of God. In fact, in the book of Exodus, chapter 23 and verse number 4, this was said, "If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him." God said, help your enemy. Even back in the book of Exodus, even back under the old law, He said, when you see somebody that hates you and their cow's out, He said, get the cow, put it up, take it back to them. Don't keep the cow. Don't kill the cow. Don't run the cow off. That's probably what would come to our mind, wouldn't it? If I hate you and your cow's out, then I may line the old Dodge up and run over the cow. But that's not what God said to do. He said, take it back. Help them. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them in the household of faith." All men includes your enemies. We think about this verse, or I think about this verse most of the time, and I'm focusing on especially unto them in the household of faith, especially unto your brothers and sisters do good. And that's right. That's where our attention should be focused initially, on our brothers and sisters and doing good unto them and helping them. That's that spirit of love that Britt talked about that we have to have to be a Christian. But it expands beyond that. And then I think, well, I can do good to those morally right people out in the world, those that are nice. I'll do good to them. But all men means your enemies too. Do good to them. Help them when you have the opportunity to do so. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter and the 21st verse, the wise man of old says, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink." That's pretty simple, isn't it? But it's not natural. Sometimes it's the things that are right there staring us in front of the face that we struggle with. But this is who we've been called to be and what we've been called to do. We have an example in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Here the Syrians have invaded and they've been taken captive. And the Bible says here, "And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And he prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. So Syria invades Israel. And Israel takes them captive. And what's the attitude of several of the advisors to the king? They say, let's kill them. We've captured them. Now let's kill them. Let's take them out. And the king says, no. That's not how we're going to treat them. This is our enemy. We're going to give them food. We're going to give them water. We're going to send them on their way. And that's what they did. And it said Syria never invaded Israel again in those days. So love can have an effect on the enemy. Love can have an effect and will have an effect, as the Bible shows us. Number three, it says, pray for them. Those that would use us, those that would persecute us, the Bible says pray. Prayer is a very powerful thing, and prayer will help. What should we pray? We should pray for their prosperity. Sometimes people, when they are down and out, is when they will lash out. They're having hard times. They don't have any money. They don't have anything to help them. They don't have the necessities of life, and they'll begin to lash out. They'll lash out at you. They'll lash out at others. They'll do things that they normally wouldn't do. And so maybe they need to be, we need to pray for them, to pray for their prosperity and to take action as well. But we're told to pray. Jesus did that. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Jesus prayed as he hung on the cross. Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." Maybe we should pray to God for their forgiveness as well, for their prosperity, for their help, so that we can no longer be enemies but be friends. These are the things we've been called to do. As I said, it's not hard. These are simple things. These are the Scripture has lined it out for us very clearly. It's defined for us who our enemy is. Our enemy is one that curses us, one that hates us, one that would mistreat us, and one who would persecute us. That's who our enemy is. Those enemies may be in this community. Those enemies may be across the ocean, far, far away, somebody we'll never see or meet. But what are we told to do? We're told to bless them. We're told to do good for them. We're told to pray for them. Those are simple things, and I encourage you to do that today. Why? Because we serve a master that did that for us. Did you know you were the enemy of God? The Bible tells us that whosoever would be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And every one of you here tonight have lived a time in your life when you were the enemy of God because you were in the world. And you were minding the things of the world. And you were serving self. And you were serving the things you wanted to do. And you weren't serving God. But it says God commended His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You have a master that loved you when you were His enemy. And He died for you while you were His enemy so that He could bring you close to Him. He didn't die in vain. He died so He could bring you close to Him. As we read in Titus chapter 3, the Bible says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." You know what that sounds like? That sounds like somebody that would be our enemy today, wouldn't it? Somebody that lives like that, that's our enemy. Somebody that lives like that is the enemy of God. And what does he say? We ourselves were among that group. We lived like that. We did those things. But he says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Christ died for us while we were His enemies. While we were living and doing those things, He died for us. He brought us, made a way to bring us to Him. And if you're here tonight and you're not among the saved, among the elect, among those that have obeyed the gospel and lived for Jesus, you're an enemy of Christ tonight. Now that doesn't mean He doesn't love you. That doesn't mean that everybody doesn't love you because we've been called to love. But you can leave here a child of Christ. You can leave here a friend. Christ made that way for us. And if you're here today and you just haven't had love in your heart toward your enemies, remember it's not a feeling, it's an action. And if you need help with that, we all need help with that. We can give you that help through prayer to love your enemies, to bless them that curse you, to do good to them that hate you, and to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.